Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, hallowed be thy name. O God, it is with great praise and pleasure we kneel before thy throne of grace. Praise, for thou art truly to be praised. Thou art our God and our Creator, our Master. The hope that we have in life and the joy that we have in the eternity to come is because of thy great compassion. Because thou, my Son, Jesus Christ, has that plan of salvation that has been laid for thy children. And the hopes that we are privileged to have, the desires that we hold within our hearts and burn within our bosom, are that someday we may be able to partake of that completeness and that fullness of even that eternity. God, we count the privilege that we are able to be here in the house of thy worship this night, to be with our brothers and sisters of like desires, of mutual respect and love, to partake of the fellowship, the strengths and the weaknesses that you have allowed us, and the privilege to bond together, to come together in thy blessed name, and expect that truly your voice would ring from on high, that as our brother, thy servant, would stand in the pulpit, that you would open his mind, that you would bless his thoughts, that they would become your thoughts, that you would give him that organization of mind, and that you would free his tongue, and that he would do thy will, fulfilling the calling that you have blessed upon him, the responsibilities that you have granted him, and the love and the fellowship that we, his brothers and sisters, have experienced by his hand. We therefore ask, Heavenly Father, that you would take this meeting this night, and that you would place a blessing upon it, and place a blessing upon each of our hearts, that we would partake wisely of the time, the talent, and the wisdom that will be proclaimed this night, not the wisdom of mankind, and not the strengths of our brother Buzz, but the sweet Holy Spirit that truly can be within this place if we will but open and receive thy counsel and thy blessing. God, there are many who are sick and afflicted and stand in dire need. But that sickness and that afflictedness, Heavenly Father, also is for spiritual. And we would pray in Jesus Christ's name that hearts and souls would be healed, and that truly opportunities would be availed, that all mankind would hear thy blessed word and would partake wisely and hold tightly to the rod of iron, that they may be guided even to the tree of life. Pray, Heavenly Father, that through our testimonies and our hopes and our desires and our willingness to be the potter's clay, that we might be used as instruments of our brothers, as our brothers of old were, to share with others the joy and the happiness that affords mankind if they will but be at peace and know that you are God. God, there is much physical sickness also. We would continue to remember our sister Doris Rattery and pray in Jesus Christ's name that she will receive that relief and that peace and that tranquility, that her bosom would burn with the awareness that her Savior is with her always, and that the love and the respect of her brothers and sisters are with her as well. We pray, Heavenly Father, for our sister Edna Smith, that though she be of many years, her heart continues to hold up, desiring to be with you, and desiring to be your child, and desiring to give her testimony as quickly and as authoritatively as she ever has. God, we pray for our sister Pascal, and we pray in Jesus Christ's name that you would hold her close to your bosom, and that she and all those that experience you know that you are with her and holding her dear. God, we pray for our sister Connie, that as she has come through the operation safely, we give you the praise and the honor and the glory, for thou art truly to be praised. But we would ask that you would continue to bless her and hold her dear to your bosom. Let her know that her brothers and sisters think of her and support her and desire that thy will would be done in her behalf. God, we thank you for the beautiful, peaceful day that we experienced this day, the great accomplishments that we were able to accomplish, knowing that it is because thy peaceful spirit was with us, and that as the many prayers came up to you, that this conference would be dedicated to you. Oh God, we give you thanks that truly this day was. And we ask that you would continue to be with us, that you would enable us to be vessels and to be filled with thy loving spirit. We've come here this night now to be fed. We pray that you would give our brother that strength to break the bread of life before us, and pray that each of us would assume the responsibility that we have to partake of thy counsel and thy word and thy instruction. God, we thank you for one another. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for that holy, comforting Spirit, even the Spirit of truth. And God, we thank you for you. For we are privileged to be a part of the body of Christ, and because of your love, we are afforded such a privilege. Be with us now. Forgive us of our sins. Take from us the trauma and the pressures of this world, and let us focus intently upon the purpose in which we have gathered together this night. And may we hear thy Spirit speak to us in abundance. And this we pray, seek and hope and desire in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Neva. That was beautiful. You know, as I looked out over the congregation, I saw about half of us lip-syncing with our sister Neva. That was a beautiful, beautiful song. You know, a lot of you folks remember probably the last time that I introduced Bud. In Missouri, at the Missouri reunion, you probably remember that I tried to explain something about a head goose. But I'm not going to say a thing about that tonight. Because twice I tried to introduce him with that same introduction, and I messed it up both times. So I ain't going to say a thing about the head goose tonight. But I am going to tell you that we have a brother whose only desire is to serve our Heavenly Father. And I'm going to testify to you that many times I've heard him break the bread of life, just like we prayed. And many times I've seen our Heavenly Father's Spirit work through us. You know, it's a tremendous privilege and an honor to stand behind this desk, and it's also a scary responsibility. Without the prayers of the congregation, without the support and the love that beams up this way, without the Spirit of Jesus Christ in our heart, we can't be successful. So I would solicit for Buzz your love and your support. I would solicit for Buzz your careful attention. But most important, I would solicit for Buzz your earnest prayer. That as he stands here tonight, he would not stand alone. As we stand here together, we would not be alone. But that we may be fed abundantly from on high. I offer you our brother and our special friend, Apostle Smith Brickhouse.
Thank you, Bob. I don't believe you did that. I'm thankful for the opportunity to be here tonight and to see your smiling faces. And I appreciate your prayers. And I'll take that love that Bob mentioned. And it is a joy to be here. It's a joy to have been able to spend the last few days with everybody and to reacquaint ourselves after a year or 6 months or whatever it might be that we've been apart. I'm thankful for the opportunity that the Lord affords us to serve Him and to stand before you and to praise His name and to give thanks for the bountiful blessings that He's seen fit to bestow upon each and every one of us here or there in this room. I'm thankful for the beautiful plan of salvation that He's laid before us, the hope that we have, the love that He has for us, and for the things that He's preserved for us for these the latter days, that we might read them and understand. And I'm going to, you know, our brother yesterday talked about heritage and the heritage that we had. And I'm going to talk a little bit about our heritage and the promises of God to the Church of Christ. And I'm going to hopefully challenge you. And you know, we've all met here the last several days, and we prayed that the Lord would work with us. We prayed that the Lord would see fit to use His ministry and to speak by the power of the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost would take it into the hearts of the children of men. And I hope and pray that that happens this evening. And I want you to continue to pray as we go along here. And, you know, I can stand before you and give a few words. And unless you have the desire to take them with you and to do something with them, they're void. And so as I have the responsibility and as Bob had the responsibility to open up the service with a prayer, and as I had the responsibility to try to prepare myself for tonight, that responsibility during this evening's sermon is going to pass on to each of you, that you do something with the words that the Lord has prepared, that you put them to practice in your life, that you take them to heart, that you ponder them and you pray about them and you ask for guidance and direction in your life. So I hope and pray that you in fact do that. I'm going to start off I was speaking about all the marvelous things that we can be thankful for. And I really do want us to focus on those types of things. And we had a beautiful, several beautiful song services yesterday. And the one in particular that can't those kids sing? Huh? Isn't that great to see? Don't you just enjoy that? Boy, that's neat. And, you know, they do it with enthusiasm and with joy. And you kids, you got to know that we really appreciate it. And we want to hear you more. And you know, it's good. As I had the opportunity to stand up there, it's good to be able to do that. And those of us that were blessed to being able to perform, it was a joy for us also, I know. But we have the song, the Easter story, about the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, His crucifixion, His death. And I'd like to read a little bit about that this evening, start out with here, into talking about the blessings of God and our heritage. I'm going to begin reading in the sixth chapter of the second book of Nephi, on page 105. It's Jacob speaking here, and he says, "And now, my beloved brethren, I have read these things that you might know concerning the covenants of the Lord, that He hath coveted with you all with all the house of Israel, that He hath spoken unto the Jews by the mouth of His holy prophets, even from the beginning down, from generation to generation, until the time cometh that they shall be restored to the true church and fold of God. When they shall be gathered home to the lands of their inheritance and shall be established in all their lands of promise. Behold, my beloved brethren, I speak unto thee, unto you these things that you may rejoice and lift up your heads forever because of the blessings which the Lord shall bestow upon the children of men, upon your children, excuse me. But I know that thou hast searched much, many of you, to know the things to come. Wherefore I know that you know that our flesh must waste away and die. Nevertheless, in our bodies we shall see God. Yea, and I know that you know that in the body he shall show himself unto they at Jerusalem, from whence we came. For it is expedient that it should be among them. For it behooveth the great Creator that he suffereth himself to become subject unto man in the flesh, and die for all men, that all men might become subject unto him. For as death had passed upon all men to fulfill the merciful plan of the great Creator, there must needs be a power of resurrection. And the resurrection must needs come unto by man by reason of the fall. And the fall cometh by reason of transgression. And because man became fallen, they were cut off from the presence of the Lord. Wherefore, it must needs be an infinite atonement. Save it should be an infinite atonement, this corruption should not put on incorruption. Wherefore, the first judgment which came upon man must needs have remained to an endless duration. And if so, this flesh must have laid down to rot and to crumble to its mother earth, to rise no more. O, the wisdom of God, his mercy and grace! For behold, if the flesh should rise no more, our spirits must become subject to that angel which fell from before the presence of the eternal God and became the devil, to rise no more. And our spirits must have become like unto him, and we become devils, angels to a devil, to be shut out from the presence of our God, and to remain with the father of lies and misery, like unto himself. Yea, to that being who beguiled our first parents, who transformed himself nigh unto an angel of light, and stirreth up the children of men unto secret combinations of murder, and all manner of secret works of darkness. Oh, how great the goodness of our God, who prepareth a way for our escape from the grasp of this awful monster. Yea, that monster, death and hell, which I call the death of the body and also the death of the spirit. And because of the way of deliverance of our God, the Holy One of Israel, this death, of which I have spoken, which is the temporal, shall deliver up its dead, which death is the grave. And this death, which I have spoken, which is the spiritual death, shall deliver up its dead, which spiritual death is hell. Wherefore, death and hell must deliver up its dead, and hell must deliver up its captive spirits, and the grave must deliver up its captive bodies, and the bodies and the spirits of men will be restored one to another. And it is by the power of the resurrection of the Holy One of Israel. Oh, how great the plan of our God! For on the other hand, the paradise of God must deliver up the spirits of the righteous, and the grave deliver up the body of the righteous, and the spirit and the body is restored to itself again, and all men become incorruptible and immortal, and they are living souls, have a perfect knowledge like unto us in the flesh, save it be that our knowledge shall be perfect. Wherefore we shall have a perfect knowledge of our own guilt and our uncleanness and our nakedness. And the righteous shall have a perfect knowledge of their enjoyment, and their righteousness, being clothed with purity, yea, even with the robe of righteousness. And it shall come to pass that when all men shall have passed from this first death unto life, insomuch as they have become immortal, they must appear before the judgment seat of the Holy One of Israel. And then cometh the judgment. And then must they be judged according to the judgments of God. And as surely as the Lord liveth, for the Lord God has spoken it, and it is his eternal word, which cannot pass away, that they which are righteous shall be righteous still, and they which are filthy shall be filthy still. Wherefore they which are filthy are the devil and his angels, and they shall go away into everlasting fire. prepared for them, and their torment is as a lake of fire and brimstone, whose flames are sent up forever and ever, and hath no end. Oh, the greatness and the justice of our God, for he executeth all his words, and they have gone forth out of his mouth, and his law must be fulfilled. But behold, the righteous, the saints of the Holy One of Israel, they which have believed in the Holy One of Israel, they which have endured the crosses of the world and despised the shame of it, they shall inherit the kingdom of God, which was prepared for them from the foundation of the world, and their joy shall be full forever. Oh, the greatness of the mercy of our God, the Holy One of Israel, for he delivereth his saints from that awful, awful monster, the devil, and death and hell, and that lake of fire and brimstone, which is endless torment. Oh, how great the holiness of our God, for he knoweth all things, and there is not anything save he knows it. And he cometh into the world that he may save all men, if they will hearken unto his voice. And behold, he suffereth the pains of all men, yea, and the pains of every living creature, both men, women, and children, which belong to the family of Adam. And he suffereth this, that the resurrection might pass upon all men, that all might stand before him at that great and judgment day. And he commanded all men that they must repent and be baptized in his name, having a perfect faith in the Holy One of Israel, or they cannot be saved in the kingdom of God. Some marvelous, marvelous blessings, promises. As we are in that Easter season that's upon us, and we have time to reflect the crucifixion of our Lord and Savior, and the fact that he died willingly and atoned for the sins of the world, that we might be redeemed and brought back into the presence of our Heavenly Father. And that he has blessed us with the knowledge that he has brought to us and the need for us to repent of our sins, to humbly come and approach him, to ask for forgiveness, for ask for guidance and direction in our life, to ask that he might mold us and shape us, that the things that we do and say might be pleasing to him, that at the last day we might be among the righteous and we might be able to reign with him, with our Heavenly Father, in glory, in love, in a perfect brightness of hope that's spoken of. What a beautiful story. What a marvelous blessing. Let's hold. We have to hold on to that hope that there is something beyond this life that we're living in now. That there's something beyond the trials and the temptations and the suffering and the evil that abounds around us in the darkness. We have to keep before us that hope of life eternal with our Heavenly Father. And with that hope, we can endure. We can gain our strength and move on. What a blessing. I'm thankful for our Heavenly Father, for the knowledge that he's blessed. I believe each of us there in this room. And those promises. You know, I'm thankful that our Heavenly Father saw fit to bring to us in these last days the restored gospel. First of all, that this plan of salvation that was laid from since the foundation of the world was put in place. The prophecies were there that the Son of God would come down among the children of men and dwell here. And, you know, we know and are blessed of the scriptures that tell us that Christ came. He was here. He lived among us, or those before us. And he set an example for us and set in place his church. And he set in place those things that were never going to change and set the example in his doctrine and the things that he had preached and taught that brought us into the light of the gospel and told us of the things that we had to do in order to be able to endure and to be saved and brought back into His presence. And I'm thankful for the fact that the prophets of old had testified of this, and then we have the holy men of old writing of it. And the Scriptures tell us in the mouth of two or three witnesses, all things will be established. And I'm thankful for the fact that the prophets had told us of a time that these things would be done away with for a while. And that there would be a time of darkness and famine, a spiritual famine about the earth. And our Lord and Savior said Himself that there would be grievous wolves would enter in, and there would be men would be led away to the doctrine of men, and that there would be a time that we know of darkness and a spiritual famine that coincides with the history of the Dark Ages. But then there was a promise. There was a promise, and there was a time that was spoken of by the prophets of old that there was going to be a coming forth, a restoration of that church, of that authority, of His presence among us and working with the children of men that would be here and would reign and would be everlasting. And that prophet Isaiah talked about, where they talked about that these things would be written in books or in sticks. There'd be things written for Judah. There'd be things written for Joseph. And these records would be two in the hand and be as one and be preaching the same gospel. And I'm thankful for the fact that that is confirmed in Isaiah, where it talks about these things coming forth out of the grounds with a familiar spirit. They'd be in a form of a book, and that would come at a specific time in the history of the world. That would be right prior to the days of the latter-day rains came back to Lebanon. And I'm thankful for the fact that it was given to Nebuchadnezzar in a dream, or a vision that Daniel interpreted. And he said that there would be the kingdoms that he was talking about. There'd be president. He said, in the time of those kings, there'll be another kingdom that'll be everlasting. In the time of those kings can be confirmed in history. Happened at a specific time. There was about 4 or 6 months that the particular kings that were spoken of there were in reign. And that was right before that prior time of the latter-day rains came to Lebanon. And the fact that, you know, we know that another thing happened at that time. For another thing happened, and it's given to us that it would happen. And there was the 14th chapter of Revelation in the 6th verse. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, Fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment is come, and worship Him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the foundations of water. Yes, that we know that time, because we have that in our heritage. And we know it in have great joy in the fact that we have been blessed in these last days, and that the Church of Christ was restored. It was brought back among the children of men by an angel, as was prophesied of times of old. And we have the joy in that, we have the responsibility of that. We have the responsibility to know that we are blessed of being in the Church of Christ. We are blessed with the Spirit of God, with a ministry that's called of Him, with the gift of the Holy Ghost that has been bestowed upon us as we went down into the waters of baptism. That has the promise with it that the Lord will guide us and direct us all the days of our life. Will bless us with discernment and spirit. You know, that's a blessing upon the Church of Christ. There's few of us here, or at least some of us, of the few that are gathered here today. I'm thankful for the fact that the Lord has preserved these scriptures for us, that we might have them before us and to read them and to understand and to pray about them for guidance and direction in our life. As a time, I think, as we were told yesterday to think about our heritage, to give praise to our Heavenly Father. And have great joy in those things that He's blessed us with. And to look forward to the opportunities we have that are before us to serve Him. To relish in the light of the gospel. And to praise His name. To give Him thanks. You know, I'm thankful. I'm thankful that... Have you noticed in the annual recorder's report... The last 3 years, I think it is, there's been an increase in the body of Christ. The numbers aren't decreasing by death or withdrawal or whatever. That we've had more that have been baptized. And there's a slow increase. I'm thankful that the Lord is working among our brothers in Yucatan. And a work that began a mere, 42 years ago or 43 years ago. Is now there's 200 and some active members. And that's only a small part of the people that attend there. There's 13 local congregations and a couple of missions. What a marvelous story. What a beautiful blessing to see that the Lord is working among us. That we have new locals here in the United States. And that have just formed in the last several years. And, you know, I'll no sooner name them and I'll forget some of them, but, you know, Ravenna and Hogansburg in Idaho and a new one in Arizona and a new one in Minnesota. You know, and I believe there's some other ones. That's neat. You know, we need to rejoice in that. You know, we have a tendency to think, boy, we're just a small number of people. And, you know, there's just a few of us. And boy, you know, it really isn't working. But, you know, the things are happening. They're beginning to happen. These things that the Lord has promised us are going to come to pass are coming. This is the day and the time. We know that by looking at the prophecies. We know that this work has got to go forward. And we should rejoice in that. And praise our Heavenly Father. You know, we have... I got a jar here. Now, I like to know if that jar is half full or half empty. Anybody got any idea? Just about the time I'll switch it on you. You know, we have a tendency to look at the blessings that the Lord has bestowed upon us. And boy, we don't have all the blessings that we used to have, all the spiritual guidance that we used to have, and there's something lacking. And I believe that. Because we should always be petitioning our Heavenly Father for guidance and direction and giving Him thanks for the blessing. But you know, the joke's on you. This jar is full. Some of the blessings you see, and some of them don't. There's water, which gives you life. Just like there's oxygen in that, that gives you life. And some of the blessings that the Lord has for us, we see, we feel, we touch, we eat, we possess, we have among us, and some of them touch our hearts. And they're like the wind. And it's that still, small message.
but it's still a blessing. It's still there, and we need to recognize it. But it doesn't do us any good if we leave it in a jar. It doesn't do us any good to hoard it. We can't seal it up like this lid is sealed up. And I probably won't get this off now. But we've got to open up our hearts and to praise God for the bountiful things that He's bestowed upon us. And to praise His name. And to rejoice in the things that He's given us. And to use them. And to let it nourish us and feed us, that we might go forth and grow. Because He has a desire for us that this Church of Christ grows throughout the world, and that this beautiful gospel be preached and taught among the children of men throughout the world. And it's our responsibility. And yes, although we're few, 2,000 and some of us, and the task is great at hand, we need to go forth. We need to look at the things that the Lord has given us and to move forward on them. And, you know, I'm a pretty simplistic person at times. And I don't mean to oversimplify things, but, you know, the Master Himself was asked, and He said, one of them that was a lawyer, who else would ask a question like this, you know, ask Him a question, tempting Him, and say, "Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. To love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And to love thy neighbor as thyself." Commandment, simple. And I honestly believe that if we, the body of Christ, can practice those two simple commandments, we will be richly blessed beyond our comprehension. And our ministry will speak with power and authority. It's beyond our comprehension. And the hearts of children of men will be opened. And they'll receive the things that are written and understand them and come to their Heavenly Father. You know, there's this love that we're to have one for another is also spoken of as charity. And we know all the scriptures that tells us that we should have charity. And that charity is spoken of in Colossians in the 3rd chapter. And he says, "And above all things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness." That perfect bond that can unite us all and align us with the purposes of our Heavenly Father. Charity. The pure love of God. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. In all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving Him thanks to God and to Father, and the Father by Him. You know, we're told to have that thing that's spoken of there as charity and that love and that. We need to be able to take that with us as we take the gospel wherever we go, that love might abound around us and through us, and that we might have our countenance about us, that we might shine and might draw others to. You know, here a couple years ago, 1989 to be exact, the August Ministers Conference, the ministry of the church, those that were attending there, sat down and talked about the task at hand, the missionary endeavor. And we pondered in our hearts, and we had met in prayer, and we knew the work was great and the time was short. We try to focus on a few things and try to put them in something that could be grasped onto and that people would understand what the task is at hand. I'm going to read a couple of those. It is the missionary endeavor of the Church of Christ to preach and teach Christ and His gospel to all the world. This is to be accomplished by planting and watering the seed of the gospel, teaching repentance, faith, the commandments of Christ, and the latter-day work. It is our purpose to build up strong local congregations, youth organizations, new missions, and instill in our members a strong missionary attitude. Talking about the missionary responsibilities, it was stated, general supervision and leadership of the missionary effort is the responsibility of the apostles, with local pastoral responsibilities being the duties of the local pastors and ministry. The ministry has the requirement to labor diligently with all their mights to teach and preach the gospel. The lay members, men, women, and children, having the responsibility to support and assist the ministry in the missionary endeavor while witnessing of the gospel in word and in deed in all activities in their lives. Well, you know, that pretty well hit us all. We've all got a responsibility there. Some of them are specific. But you've heard of prayers here, and I'm going to go back and I'm going to read some of the things that we were praying about and our solemn assembly, because I don't want us to forget about them. I want us to take those with us and make them a matter of prayer every day. And I'm going to skip around in this notice that we had typed up, you know, but we ought to be praying not only for conference or deliverance of ourselves, but more especially to seek specific spiritual guidance as to the work of the gospel and how we may better carry forth this work in these last days. In addition, let us pray that the Lord of harvest will send forth laborers into his harvest. For the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Further, we pray for a greater outpouring of the gifts of the Holy Ghost upon the ministry and the body at large, that our efforts might be more effective. Specific things that, you know, I believe is our responsibility to be praying about. We need specific guidance. The ministry needs to be led by God of where to go, how to approach people, how to present the gospel, that we might understand the cultures of the world, that we might know from their vantage point, their thoughts and their thinkings, that we might be able to express the gospel. We need to build this, as Randy talked about in our meeting, youth organizations. We need a ministry among the youth. The future. You know, the kids that are sitting here in the congregation today are going to be the adults 10 years from now. It's a lot faster, as we all know it. And I hope and pray each one of them are here 10 and 15 years from now. And their kids are here, and their friends, and their neighbors, because they've been able to endure. And they, in their own ministry, among the youth, and you kids, you have a strong responsibility among your friends and acquaintances in your neighborhoods and in your schools to set the example. Because many times, you know, you might be the only example that there is. But we have to actively be seeking for the ways that we can accomplish these things. We have to be actively seeking His will in our lives. You know, there's been prophecies and visions and dreams in regards to the Church of Christ, and confusion and controversy abounding, and mistrust, it's loss of a sense of direction and assurance and uncertainty and darkness. But you know that the time is at hand for that to change. The time is at hand for us to move forward by the power of the Holy Ghost and to seek Him in our lives. And I'm gonna give as an example one of the ones that's given in the Scriptures. Now, here we are, a small body of people. And what can we do? I'm going to open a book to the Book of Alma, the 24th chapter, starting on page 500 and something. And as we're a small group of 2,000, and you all know where I'm going, I'm going to read about 2,000 sons that were taught by their mothers and had faith. And I'm going to kind of skip around here because I just want to bring out the things that they were able to accomplish with the Lord. And I'm going to start with the 63rd verse. And now behold, I have somewhat to say concerning the people of Ammon, which in the beginning were Lamanites, but by Ammon and his brethren, or rather by the power and the word of God, they had been converted unto the Lord. And they had been brought down into the land of Zarahemla, and had ever since been protected by the Nephites. And because of their oath, they had been kept from taking up arms against their brethren. For they had taken an oath that they never would shed blood more. And according to their oath, they would have perished. Yea, they would have suffered themselves to have fallen into the hands of their brethren, had it not been for the pity and the exceeding love which Ammon and his brethren had had for them. And for this cause they were brought down into the land of Zarahemla, and they ever had been protected by the Nephites. Now I'm going to skip here, but You know, there came a time that the Nephites were protecting him. They were in the center of the country, if I can get that right. The Nephites were being overrun, and they were fighting with the Lamanites. These people of Ammon had decided that, you know, they were going to change and they were going to take up arms. But Helaman said no, because he loved them. And he said, no, you can't do that, because of the oath that you've made and that you'd perish. But, you know, they had 2,000 sons, strong young men, who trusted in the Lord and were brought up in the things of God and followed after his commandments. And they took up arms and made a covenant that they would fight for liberty and would fight for the Nephites. And it goes on in the stories, and it tells how they were led into battle and how they overcame great odds. And there were thousands of people that were killed and wounded, and all 2,000 of those stood, not one of them being killed. And over a series of battles, the things that they had done, but, you know, they had trusted in the Lord. They had, it said, followed his commandments with exactness. They had covenanted with him to take up arms and to fight a battle and ask for their blessings. And he poured it out. And you know, that's not unlike us and the needs for us. You know, we've made a covenant with our Heavenly Father when we went down in the waters of baptism to serve him all the days of our life. We're at war out in the world that we live in and the things that abound around us. And it's time that, you know, we go forth and we recall the things that have happened and have been given to us and the blessings that are upon us, that we might be as faithful here as the Helaman's 2,000. I think that, you know, we're at a time of decision in our lives as a church. We've turned the corner. You know, the numbers are few, but they are increasing. Our brother Al told us the blessings of the things that the church has been able to accomplish in this very building that we meet in this evening. You know, that cost a lot of money. But we were able to accomplish it. 2,000. I don't want to say we're insignificant, because we're not. Because we're the Lord's. And when it's his will, we can accomplish them. I'd like to read a part of a letter that was read today at conference. And it's from the Council of Apostles. And it says, "Greetings. The Council of Apostles has given much prayerful thought to the expansion and improvement of our missionary programs. The thrust of our efforts this conference year will concern three primary goals: increase the work among Native American peoples, initiate a work among restoration people, and increase our ministry to the isolated members." You know, these are the things that we discussed as a body of men. And there were many. These weren't all the things that are before us, but we tried to focus on three that we could present to the people to ask for their prayers and their support, that they might know and understand of the need. And we go on and ask here for that there might be fasting and prayer, that the Lord will call additional ministry. You know, we can name 5 or 6, boy, it might be 10, specific locations where there's a need for a ministry. If we had ministry there, there would be a congregation. So we're asking you to pray that the Lord will see fit, that there might be those that will be called. Because there's a need. Because each one of those congregations has a desire to grow. But they need the Lord's servant there. And there's many men that are traveling many miles to get these places, but it doesn't substitute for somebody right there that's available among them. Some of their own. Some that are close by and can come at a moment's notice and administer to them, and talk to them, and teach, and to preach, and to comfort them, love them. You know, that's both in U.S., Canada, and Mexico, as our brother Hubert said. Today, you know, we said we grew in a couple of locals in the last couple of years. Well, we could have 4 or 5, 6 more. There's 4 or 5 in Mexico, if I understand correctly. You know, there are vacancies within the Council of Apostles and the 70 evangelists, the quorums. There's a need for those to be filled. We need our prayers on behalf of that, that they might be men of God's choosing. Not ours, but God's choosing. The prayer there and the request for prayers in Solemn Assembly that we might be blessed with the knowledge and of how to present these things more effectively. We need the support of each of you. The Lord needs it. We need your prayer for support. We, quite frankly, need the financial support also. You can see what we can do when we need to do it. Because many, many sacrificed. And there's more need for that. You know, we need to be teaching. We need to be preaching the blessing of paying tithes. And that's what it is. There's a sister that's among the congregation that expresses it in such a way that I love. You know, the Lord gives me everything that I own, and He only requires He keep 10%, something to that set. He allows me to have 90. And that's difficult to do a lot of times in this day and age. But that's part of the commitment. That's part of the things that we have to do. You know, I was talking to a brother here a couple of months ago about that, and he was saying, you know, boy, I just can't get to be paying tithes. I know I ought to, and I want to, but I never seem to can do it. Well, you got to start. It's like a savings program or anything else. You just got to start. You just got to put it to your mind. And if you can't see fit, you know, for the whole thing all one time, you got to start with something and keep on increasing it. Because before you know it, the Lord's going to bless you. What is He saying? You know, this was important. It's in the Scriptures. The Bible tells us about the need for us to be paying tithes and the Book of Mormon. It was so important that Christ Himself, you know, brought it to the attention. The same Scripture that's in Malachi then is repeated in the Book of Mormon. And on page 667 in chapter 11 of the third book of Nephi, it says, "And now it came to pass that when Jesus had expounded all the Scriptures in one which they had written, He commanded them that they should teach the things which He had expounded unto them. And it came to pass that He commanded them that they should write the words which the Father had given unto Malachi, which He should tell unto them. And it came to pass that after they were written, He expounded them. And these are the words which He did tell them unto them, saying." You know, did you catch that? Christ had expounded the Scriptures. He commanded them that they should teach the things which He had expounded unto them. He commanded them that they should write the words which their Father had given to Malachi. And after they were written, he expounded on them and expressed the need for these things. You know, that wasn't just a slight statement that he made in passing. You know, about three times there he confirms it. Christ himself. I'm going to read down there in the 10th verse on page 668. And he says, "Even from the days of your fathers, you are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But you said, wherein shall we return? Where a man robbed God, yet you have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, and there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. He shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts." You know, he's challenging them. He said, you know, try me. See if I won't open up the windows of heaven on your behalf and pour out so many blessings there won't even be room enough to receive it. But we have to act in faith and a desire to serve. And that's part of the moving forward that we need to be doing. You know, I see I'm running out of time. But I want to reflect a little bit because I know I've talked about several different things here. I want to reflect on all the things that we're thankful for and the blessings. The hope that we have in the resurrection. We have a perfect time this, you know, this time of year, reflect that. You know, it's in the papers, it's in the radio, and in our services, and it's a beautiful promise and blessing. I'd like us to reflect on the heritage that we have, and that Jay talked about yesterday, and the restoration of the gospel, and the blessings, and the light of the gospel that we have, and the knowledge that he's blessed us with. And I want us to remember to focus on that need for charity. You know, on several occasions yesterday, Jay said, you know, we're pioneers and we've got to find a way. We've got to find a way. You know, we've been in confusion and darkness and mistrust and whatever, you know, and there's been controversies and everything. And we are at a crossroads. We have to make that decision to move forth. To take the things that the Lord has given with us. To not be concerned about blessings that we might not have. But to know that he's given us bountiful blessings more than we can count. But we have to open up our hearts and our minds. We have to take it with us. You know, we have to come and, you know, we're having a marvelous conference. Huh? Everybody think so? Had some beautiful services. Had a lovely solemn assembly. And we need to remember those moments and relish them. And we need to be able to go into our home congregations and our neighborhoods and wherever we dwell, you know, and to praise God of the lovely time that we've had together and the fellowship that we've had. And we have to change conference, and I think we're on the verge of it, from a time of, dread conference coming up, time of conflict, time of controversies, to a time of dedication, a time of commitment, a time to gather together to get strength to do the Lord's work and to leave here committed,
that these things that are presented, the tasks that we might be given, either by election or whatever, to have joy in the opportunities the Lord sees fit to let us serve Him, and to take full advantage of those things, and to put our trust in Him, to be committed to the things that the ministry have laid before us, and the missionary endeavor of the church, that it might go forth, that we'll support it in our prayers, in our conversations among our brothers and sisters, in our financial support, in actively helping the ministry, praying for their families, driving them if they need a driver, supporting them in every way, our youth, to let them know that we love them and that we support them and provide for their needs and their activities. And that we do this with a desire and a strength and compassion and the love of our Heavenly Father and brothers and sisters will grow because the Lord has promised us. And He fulfills His promises. And the day and the time is at hand. You know, Brother Marvin, I'm not using your scripture from this morning. You used mine. But I'm going to close with that scripture he used because I'd already had it written down. They used this morning at our service, the opening service. It's on page 325, and it's Alma's, in the book of Alma, it's fifth chapter, starting with the 38th verse. It says, "And now, my beloved brethren, I have said these things unto you that I might awaken you to a sense of your duty to God." And I hope and pray that this evening that you might be awoken to your senses might be aroused to your duty to your Heavenly Father. That you'll leave here and you'll anticipate and you'll actually search out how you can serve. Actively, not passively, actively search out how you can serve your Heavenly Father. And make it a daily activity in your life. That you may walk blameless before Him. That you may walk after the holy order of God, after which you have been received. And now I would that you should be humble. And be submissive. And gentle. Easy to be entreated. Full of patience and long-suffering. Being temperate in all things. Being diligent in keeping the commandments of God at all times. Humble. Submissive. Not prideful. Not with envy. Not with malice. Not with confusion. But with long-suffering. Being temperate in all things. Letting the Lord work within your heart, your mind, and your activities. Being diligent in keeping the commandments of God at all times. You know, the Lord understood that wasn't necessarily going to be easy. You know, that just doesn't, you know, fall off the wagon as it's going by. The turnip truck, see. You have to be diligent. You have to search it out. You have to look for it. You have to pray about it. You have to read and, you know, study the scriptures to make sure that you know where you're going, that you're keeping those commandments. Ask for whatever things you stand in need. You know, he desires that from us. That we ask for guidance and direction in our lives, for our needs, physical and spiritual. Both spiritual and temporal. Always returning thanks unto God for whatever things you do receive. And see that you have faith, hope, and charity. And then you will always abound in good works. Oh. If you have faith, if you have hope, and if you have charity, then will you always abound in good works. Kind of a neat promise, isn't it? And may the Lord bless you and keep your garments spotless, that you may at last be brought to sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the holy prophets which have been ever since the world began, having your garments spotless,
even as their garments are spotless in the kingdom of heaven, to go no more out. And now, my beloved brethren, I have spoken these words unto you according to the Spirit which testifieth in me. And my soul doth exceeding rejoice because of the exceeding diligence and heed which you have given unto my word. And now may the peace of God rest upon you, upon your houses and your lands, and upon your flocks and your herds and all that you possess, your women and your children, according to your faith and good works, from this time forth and forever, for thus I have spoken. Amen. Thank you.
James, that precious first chapter that brought a young man to the point that a gospel, a pure gospel, was restored, also says, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only." I believe the announcements for tomorrow morning are a prayer and testimony service at 9:30, 8 o'clock, 8:30. Would anybody go for 7:30? 8:30 tomorrow morning. 8:30 at my house. No. I'm sorry, 8 o'clock tomorrow morning is prayer and testimony service. 10 o'clock is the beginning of our business meetings here. You bet.
I want to especially invite all of the ladies to the luncheon tomorrow. We'll be out at the East Local. Just as soon as you can get out there at the East Local. And this is for all ladies of the church, whether you have the United Worship in your locality or not.
Okay. Let's use hymn number 15. 15 as our closing hymn. When you found your places, could we rise? Would you bow your heads with me, please? Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, hallowed be thy name. God, we do give you praise and thanksgiving, for we recognize that now is the time for us to remember that commitment that we made unto you and to renew and refresh our strength, to have a reformation in our hearts and our minds, and a restoration of the truth and the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ within our bosoms. Help us to go forth with honest commitment. Help us to be refreshed and renewed. Heavenly Father, as we look around us tonight, we see many open seats, many seats that have not been opened in the past. We recognize that in days gone by, our midst was overflowing. But we look into this not with depression, but with hope and expectation that thy blessed Spirit would burn within the bosoms of thy children everywhere, and that we might truly understand true religion, that we might be about the work that we've been blessed to be a part of, that we would actively and honestly solicit thy children. For those, Heavenly Father, that are not here because they chose not to be here, we pray in Jesus Christ's name that you would touch their hearts and you would melt that wall that they have built between you and between us. And pray that they would return with confidence and with faith and with hope, with humility and sincerity. We pray, Heavenly Father, for those that cannot be here because of reasons of health, because of economic reasons, whatever the reasons, Heavenly Father, we pray that you would break down the barrier and that they would return with a renewed conviction and a refreshed strength to do thy will and to obey thy word. Lord, for the scattered members who are unable to meet in an organized atmosphere such as we are blessed to have, give them the affirming knowledge that our Savior's love is with them always. Lift them up. And, oh God, as each of us would recognize the time of year, and as each of us would recognize the crucifixion that our Savior went through for us, may we be willing to be witnesses and worthy builders for you. And may that plan of salvation burn within our bosom for the hope that we would have of the knowledge that is within us, that our Savior lives and makes available to his children the avenue of escape. God be with us this night as each of us would go to our homes to lay our head on our pillows. Let us rest and be at peace. And let us awake tomorrow morning refreshed and renewed with a desire and with an enthusiasm and a drive to do thy work, to be even as the potter's clay and to be molded as instruments for thee. God, we do remember the sick and the afflicted, and we thank you for hearing our prayers in their behalf in days gone by and pray you to continue to be with them always. Thank you for the forum we've had tonight to hear thy word and pray that our testimony in our lives would be worthy sweet fragrance unto thee. And this we pray, asking you to place a benediction upon this service and our hearts this night. In Jesus' holy and righteous name.